You are tuned to Radio Islam on Medium Wave 1548. I am Yusuf Asmaji and you are with us this evening. We are in the In Focus program and tonight we are carrying on with our topic on talaq. And we have in our studios Mufti Ilyas, who is from Rainsworth. Alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab has been talking on this topic for about three Mondays. You know, every consecutive Monday we talk on this. And today Mufti Saab has also informed me that it will be the last Monday that we are talking on this topic of talaq. So if you have any questions, any contributions, any comments that you'd like to make in connection with this topic, or you may have a problem facing you that you'd like to clarify, or you have come across a problem, or purely just for information, you can call into our studios and ask Mufti Saab on this particular topic of talaq or divorce. And you can call into the studio. The number is 854-6854 or fax us on 854-702405. That's the studio number, 854-6854 or fax us on 854-702405. And yes, if you have email available and you'd like to email us any information or queries or questions, our email address is info@radioislam.org.za. That's info@radioislam.org.za. And I'd like to welcome Mufti Saab to the studios. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Continuing with the discussion on talaq. So far, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have discussed various types of talaq and their definition. And mentioning that talaq means to invalidate the marriage contract. Then we spoke about talaq a sari, that is clear talaq, talaq a kinaya, which is simple terms, talaq which was given in ambiguous words, and talaq which was given in words which have dual meaning, and the decision and the ruling will be given upon the intention of the sayer of the words. In tonight's discussion, I will give you more examples of talaq e kinaya, because I feel this is important, and unfortunately it is becoming a daily occurrence in many Muslim homes. Then we spoke about the talaq ahsan, and the best method of giving talaq, and the good method of giving talaq. And then also what we said, the talaq mughallaza, where three talaqs were given. Tonight's discussion session, I will also discuss with you concerning what we call talaq e bidah, which is not light in Shariat. Before going to discuss the talaq e bidah, we must realize that in order for talaq to take place, first of all, there has to be a husband, because the husband gives the talaq. So, for example, when you are going to perform salat, before you perform salat, there has to be wuzu. So for talaq to take place, the first condition, or say the first rukun, the first pillar, is that the husband has to be the one giving the talaq. And the husband who is married to that particular wife. Secondly, the second important factor in talaq is the wife, because the wife is given the talaq, the wife receives the talaq, and it has to be the wife of the husband. Here let me explain that one husband cannot give another person's wife talaq. For example, many times we get calls that the person says that my brother, he talaq my wife. This does not work in Islam. Or they say, my father talaq my wife. Or the grandfather talaq my wife. Or the son talaq the wife. with son talaq his father's wife. How that is possible? Why? Because the husband, he is the one who has to issue and he is the one who has to execute the talaq. Yes, it is a different masala, a different ruling when the husband gives the power of attorney to someone else to issue talaq on his behalf. That is valid and that is a discussion on its own. So we must know that this conception that the father can divorce the wife of his son, that is fallacious. The father cannot divorce the wife of his son, or the mother cannot divorce her son's wife. The son himself has to do this. So there, now we have got the husband, he is the issuer of the talaq. The wife, the one who is receiving the talaq. Also now, that one person, he cannot go and divorce someone else's wife. The wife has to be his. Thirdly, that the talaq has to have a tense, that the tense of execution, that I am giving, if a person has to say this, that I am giving you talaq, and not that I am going to give you talaq. I am going to give you talaq, this means future. He is still contemplating, he is still deliberating, he is still discussing. Also, these days we get questions like, people say that we sit in the room sometimes and we think we have issued talaq, or we ponder we have issued talaq, or the person says that I was fighting with my wife, then I decided to go away to the bathroom, and there he feels, I think while I was in the bathroom I divorced my wife. So thinking does not constitute divorce. Pondering does not constitute divorce. And to have imagination does not constitute divorce.
Gee, we'd like to remind our listeners that you can call into the studio on 854-6854 or fax us on 854-7024. And also, which I should have mentioned in the beginning, was that if you have any questions, please try and get through to the panel, as some of the questions do become very, very complex, and there may be more questions needed in order to answer a particular one question. So please try and talk to Mufti Saab, and try avoiding giving the question to our engineers. It sometimes does create a problem. Mufti Saab, before you go on, just to clarify quickly, you were talking about people say, my father gave my wife the talaq. In other words, what do they mean? They say the father said the words talaq, or how do they mean it?
No, they are under the impression that the father automatically has got power of attorney and he can divorce the wife of his son. This is not according to the laws of Sharia. The father, yes, he can recommend to his son and he can suggest to his son that you should divorce your wife. And here also I would just quickly mention one incident which is very famous and everybody knows this, that when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had left his wife Hazrat Hajra and Hazrat Ismail and proceeded for Dawud. When he came back, meanwhile Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam had married a lady from the tribe of Jur'um. So when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam came back, he asked his daughter-in-law. He asked his daughter-in-law. At that time, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam was not present. He had gone hunting. Some ulama say that because of this, hunting becomes permissible and is permissible because Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam had gone hunting. Nevertheless, he had asked his daughter-in-law about life and the conditions of life. So she was complaining and she was in grief and sorrow. and she was not very happy about the situation.
Okay, I think we've got a caller online. We've got an anonymous brother. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me, brother?
Okay,
you on air?
Okay, before I talk to Mufti Saab, I just like to say, I've got the tafsir by Ibn Kathir.
Okay.
I just want to read this first, and then, if you don't mind, just a small, I'm going to just read something from it. This is at the back of the tafsir. It says the Quran is a revelation of Allah's own words and the guidance of His creatures. Since the Quran is a primary source of Islamic teaching, the correct understanding of the Quran is necessary for every Muslim. The tafsir of Ibn Kathir is the most renowned and accepted explanation of the Quran in the entire world. In it, one finds the best presentation of hadith, history, and scholarly commentary. Now, I know tonight's topic is actually dealing with Talaq. Now, in this edition of the tafsir, it's actually 10 volumes. It's in the first volume on page 640. It says it's quite italized, it's in bold letters. It's not in ordinary, it's in bold letters. It says now, I'm going to read from the tafsir of the Quran, pronouncing three divorces at the same time is unlawful. Then it goes on, it says, the last ayah we mentioned was used as evidence to prove that it is not allowed to pronounce three divorces at one time. What further proves this ruling is that Mahmud bin Labid was stated as Al-Nasari recorded that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was told about a man who pronounced three divorces on his wife at one time. So the Prophet stood up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he was angry and said, the Book of Allah is being made the subject of jest while I'm still amongst you. Now, this is quite, it's in bold letters. Now, I'm just going to repeat, it says pronouncing three divorces at the same time is unlawful. I'd just like to hear Mufti's comments on it.
You will listen on the air, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah.
No doubt, Tafsir Ibn Kathir is a great work. And remember what has been stated by the brother, that pronouncing of three talaqs is unlawful. One is, for example, which I, in the initial session of talaq, I mentioned something and explaining it, that if a person has got three bullets in a gun, then now understand what I'm saying. We say it is unlawful for you to shoot three bullets at one time, and we write that in bold letters. But if a person shoots three bullets at one time, has he shot those three bullets? Definitely he has shot those three bullets. Those three bullets have come out, and each bullet is counted. So, something that is unlawful, but after it has been done, the result takes fruits, meaning there is validity in the results. There is validity in the result. Validity in the result, I'm sorry to give this crude example now, that if a person unfortunately has illegal relationship with another woman, then in bold letters we say that this is unlawful. But if a child is born, a child is born. If a child is born, a child is born. So there was fruits in that unlawful action. There was results in that unlawful action. Similarly, that the issue concerning three talaqs in one session, this has become in certain quarters a discussion. Those of you who are really interested in this, you may contact me via the radio station, so that we can supply you with one of our books that we have translated, which has been written by Mufti Jalil, the Sheikhul Hadith of Talibuddin in Durban, wherein he explains the validity of three talaqs in one session. And of those of you who have got the translation of Abu Dawud, which is done by Professor Hassan, and Professor Hassan is supposed to be one of those who does not want to conform to any mazhab, under the section of talaq and concerning those hadiths which supposed to say that no, three talaqs in one session is equal to one, he clearly says that that is the abrogated hadith, and that hadith has been superseded by later statements of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he himself says that three talaqs in one session is equal to three. Remember that the hadiths where the word is used concerning the giving of three talaqs, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows detestment. And when he's showing detestment, he is not showing that this is not valid. He is upset about it, that this has taken place. But Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing that although he is detested, but the three talaqs is valid and it is considered as three. And this three talaq issue is accepted as three in all the mazhabs, whether it be Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki. It is accepted from all the four mazhabs, and those who try to cut corners and legalize these things by saying no, three talaqs is equal to one, are making couples live in sin and unfortunately in adultery. To go on, I mentioned that, as explained earlier, in tonight's session I would like to give more examples about what I said, talaq-e-kinaya. Talaq-e-sari, clear talaq. That means a person says to his wife, I divorce you, or I give you talaq. Now, talaq, a kinaya is that he uses ambiguous words, not clear words, which will depend now upon his intention. Now, some of these words are, like he tells his wife, a husband tells his wife that you are buying, meaning that I am stating to you that you are as a person who is talaq, or you are haram unto me, or a person tells his wife that I am free from your nikah, or you are free from my nikah.
We've got a caller online. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Tawbah, Surah 9, verse number 126. Surah Nur, 2458. Can you just check it up? Tell Mr. Mufti to check it up, please.
I know in which direction you're going. You're trying to still go on with that idea that three talaqs is equal to one. We have repeatedly telling you that please consult me and I will fax you or send you our book, and you are trying to mislead people. If you are misled on this issue here, please, the Quran is not the only source of discussion or deduction or argumentation in Islam. The Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a source of deduction in Islam and argumentation. You are trying to mislead people by your self-understanding of the Quran, and you are trying to mislead people by saying that the three talaqs is equal to one in one session. So you should meet me at my house privately so I can discuss with you.
Brother Muhammad. Muhammad, if you could just give me a second. Yeah, I think the direction you're heading in needs more attention. And as Mufti Saab said, if you could please contact him over off the air. And also, if you could please, you can contact the radio station and you can discuss this with Mufti Saab privately. Assalamu alaikum.
As I was explaining,
let's just remind our listeners that they can call in, and we'd also like to tell our listeners that the whole objective of the InFocus program, whether it be on talaq, whether it be on halal issues, whether it be on salam, is to create awareness amongst the public on what are the issues that affect us, what are the issues that affect us on a daily basis, and if there are questions which are, I would say, out of the reach of the layman, and we'd like to ask those questions, yes, let's be very, very, if I could maybe say, have a bit of diplomacy about it, and contact Mufti Saab off air actually get a detailed explanation. So please, we have got limited time and we need to accommodate a lot of people, and we cannot get into very, very detailed explanations on issues about this. Gee, the number to call is 854-6854 or 854-7024.
We were explaining about talaq kinaya, and I was giving you examples about these unclear words, and these unclear words depend on the intention of the person. And I was explaining to you before we had the caller trying to explain or try to put his view forward, the three talaqs in one session is equal to one, which I told you that that is a fallacious view. The unclear words, for example, will be that you are free from my nikah, you are free from the contract of nikah, or you stand up from here, or you are free to go, or you are separated from me, or I am separated from you, or you go to your mother's house, or you go to your father's house.
We've got another caller, Mufti Sahab. It's again, I don't know if it's the same caller, it's Brother Muhammad Slaunikum. Muhammad.
Hello,
Slaunikum.
My name is Muhammad. I was on Iron phone earlier.
Jay.
I just needed to clarify something with Mufti Sahab, is that when we make nikah, we always, there has to be our three witnesses with regard to a female, whether she wants to marry or not. But when it comes to talaq, is there any way in Islamic law, Sharia, that a woman can ask for talaq?
Yes, first of all, you can listen on that when you, for nikah, you require two witnesses.
Okay.
Two witnesses, not three. Two witnesses.
Yes.
Now, as far as the talaq, the lady, the wife, she can request for talaq.
Okay.
That's one point. In which way? There are two ways now. In fact, three now in South Africa.
Okay.
One is that if she is dissatisfied with her husband and she's got legal grounds, meaning that perhaps the husband is abusing her, not maintaining her, and ill-treating her.
When you say legal grounds, you mean like...
You go to the
like
Jamiat.
Sharia laws.
Yes, you go to the Jamiat.
Yes.
They have got a special department to help you, to help the lady, to help the wife, that if the husband is abusing her, beating her, hitting her,
yes,
not maintaining her,
yes,
and if he is not fulfilling the husband's rights, then she can apply.
Yes.
And they will take the matter up. They will call the husband in, try to have mediation, arbitration.
Yes.
And eventually, if they cannot find any grounds of reconciliation,
yes,
they make what we call fuss. They do a separation.
Yes.
That is one method.
Yes.
Second method is that the wife, if she is dissatisfied for some reason, then she can offer the husband some money and tell the husband that I will give you some money, you give me my talaq.
Yes.
So that's what we call hula, that she will request her husband via giving some money, and the husband says, okay, you give me so much money and I will give you your talaq.
Yes.
So he gets the money and the talaq is given. The third one is that the husband can cede. You see, the husband has got three talaqs.
Yes.
He's got the right of giving three talaqs.
Yes.
So the husband can cede only one of those three,
yes,
to his wife.
So if his wife requests that she wants a divorce, he can cede one of.
Now hold on.
Yes.
When they draw up a marriage contract,
yes,
when they draw a marriage contract, then in that marriage contract, he can legally, in the light of Sharia, cede one of those three talaqs that he has got to her.
Okay.
So she can exercise it.
Okay.
Meaning now that this is optional. It need not be done.
Sure.
And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the husband the right of divorce, we all know that inshallah we hope that the husband has got more control and better temperament and he will not divorce at every incident and case.
Sure.
Now the wife and the female, they perhaps get a little cross quickly or angry a little bit quickly, sure. And they have different modes, depression, anxiety, so they will give out the divorce quickly.
Sure.
So only she can get the right of one divorce.
Sure.
So that is the method that she can exercise.
So, the master, when I pick up the time,
sure.
Is it possible for a man, speaking of the same situation, for a husband to ask from the wife's parents for compensation for looking after her, otherwise he won't give her divorce, after she requests a divorce? Is that possible?
Now, this is blackmailing, that means. This is now literally what you are talking about,
sure.
That the husband is being very nasty, and yeah, I think he's trying to blackmail the whole family.
You know, life is absolutely tough. It's very stressful. You get a shock of what you hear today.
Yes.
But it happens in a family where he wants compensation for the food he gave her, the way he looked after her, for the car he bought for her, for the holidays he sent her, for the clothes he bought. He sent an entire list.
Yes.
That it comes to about 200 or 250,000. If you don't pay this, then I know in Islamic law that you can't divorce me if I don't give you my divorce. So with regard to that, he's holding on to this. It's about 4 or 5 years where the couple are separated, but
yes,
because of, I don't know if it's Sharia law or what, or hindrance, that they can't get divorced.
So a matter like this, a matter of this nature, and I will just advise you and advise all other callers that please, when you, I'm so happy that you don't mention any names. We do not want any names to come onto the air, but the case can come onto the air, that a matter like this should go to the Jamiat.
So the matter is with the Jamiat, and I think they've reached the impasse, because only a husband can divorce his wife, and because he refuses to give his talaq, they are still at the stalemate for 5 years. So is there no other way? Because I don't want this lady to go now to seek advice from somebody who's not well learned, who will just give her a divorce.
She might
think she's divorced, although she's not divorced.
Yeah, that is why I'm saying no, that you, as a responsible member, I will advise you that you take this matter personally with the Jamiat,
yes,
and inshallah convince them the urgency of this matter. As you say, it is already 4 to 5 years,
yes,
and it is lingering on, and this is not very good.
Yes.
So you should take it up seriously, and then also try to contact me later.
Yes.
Then perhaps I also can talk to the Jamiat and we see what we can do.
Musa, before you go on, we've had one of our listeners asking a question about a shell marriage, if I could just put it that way. The situation is that the husband and wife, well, they are married. They've got one child. And the husband does not talk to the wife. He does not eat the wife's food. Neither does he take part in any of the activities that a normal family would do. So he comes in the morning, he goes to work, he comes back, he does his thing, the wife does her thing. And that's how they're living the life. Could you comment on that situation, Mufisa? What do they do? Because the wife is saying she's come to a stage now that her marriage is a shell. That's why I said it's a shell marriage.
Now, they are not living a life, because this is not life. And unfortunately, what must be happening here is that when the husband goes to one room, and if the wife is there, then the wife may be coming out of the room. And if the wife is in some room, then the husband will not enter there. And they'll be walking in the passages as if to say they're driving cars and not looking at each other. So the husband, when he's not eating the food there and not fulfilling the rites there, then he should seriously go for counseling. He should go for counseling. He should contact his local alim. He should contact his local imam. He should contact his elders, his parents, and he should contact his friends and try to address this very serious problem. Because here there is a family that is in turmoil, and the child that is involved would be totally traumatized. And what is weighing the mind of the child, Allah Ta'ala knows best. So they should seriously think about either to carry on with that marriage or terminate that marriage. And we read in the books of jurisprudence that there are types of divorce. Besides those that I mentioned to you, it is sometimes absolutely necessary to give the divorce. Now, if this case here, there is no room for reconciliation and there is no light in the tunnel, forget light in the tunnel, when there is no light or the tunnel, then it is best in the interest of all parties that they separate. And they separate. Here I would like to mention something. I'm happy you spoke about this, Brother Yusuf, that on marriage, that the husband has to give the mehr. Now many a time we come to know that the marriage has been, marriage has taken place, marriage is consummated, the nikah is consummated, yet the husband has not given the mehr. Now that is not good, and that is unbecoming of a husband, that he does not give the mehr to the, he does not give the dowry to the wife. The husband must do that. Also on marriage, husband's party, and the husband receives some gifts and the wife receives gifts, they should at that stage, at that early stage, they should make an itinerary. What belongs to who? And the item in the house, who is the owner of it? Our homes are run like this, that the husband, alhamdulillah, they get married, husband and wife living together. After a week, they move into a flat or a house. Now when they move into the flat or the house, certain items come from the father-in-law's side, from the looking from the wife's angle. Certain items come from the father-in-law's side, looking from the husband's side. So all combined, and they put in some fridge there, the stove there, the air conditioning, the heater, everything comes in now. Now, who is the owner of that? Where the difficulty arises, when there is some divorce, when there is some dispute, when there is some quarrel. Now what happens? They run around. Or we are separated, then you get a phone call. The jewelry, who it belongs to?
Okay, Musa, before you go on, we've got a caller online. It's Brother Babu. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, assalamu maulana. I just want to make some contribution for about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Can I come on there?
Sure.
Assalamu alaikum. Dear brothers in Islam, I want to make a contribution. The speaker is 72 years of age, and I'm in, from the early age, contact with the ulemas. According to Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi, for example, when you become the age of age where you go to perform your salah, it becomes obligatory to know the laws of salah. Similarly with zakat. Now what happened in marriage? I'm trying to learn the laws of marriage, though I am a publisher of Islamic magazine. It's very, very difficult to understand. So therefore it is my appeal to the ulamas, whenever a marriage takes place, advise the couples that it is obligatory on you to know the laws of zakat, in which case they will automatically have to come to the alims, and step by step they will go, step by step. It is very, very important for everybody who gets married, because they say we got divorced on grounds of anger. I am now divorced for 12 years, I regret, but as threatened, I had to be divorced when the ulama told me, your position is such that you are starting beating your wife, this is against the Sharia. Now it is for you to divorce your wife, not on simple matters. I was on the air before, I've got a son, 32 years of age, my daughter, they are completely lost. So whenever anybody speaks on the radio about marriage, it really gives me a kind of a shock that Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to divorce, but let us go to ulema before we divorce. It is obligatory on you, according to Imam Ghazali, to know the laws. Now this is the appeal to the ulemas which I make. Normally a person doesn't want to speak on divorce, on the marriage, because they're happy, but you'll be contributing something. To understand the laws of divorce is very, very difficult. I used to go to the ulema, and step by step I went. Today I regret, I've got love for my ex-wife. I support them financially without any difficulty. I went to court 9 times, and the magistrate felt sorry for me. I didn't want them to eat haram money, and my wife understood that we are Muslims, and I'm wrong to ask haram money. With the result, I've got so much love for them that I'm giving them more what I can. So this is my appeal to my young brothers. Please, in the name of Allah, Do not let the throne shake where you can save yourself. Jazakallah Maulana for giving me time on the radio. May Allah bless you.
Inshallah, I hope the listeners take the advice. Basically, what the elderly gentleman is saying, that before making any move, as we expressed clearly and categorically in our first sessions, that consult the ulama, consult your imam, consult those who are the witnesses to the marriage, consult those who can arbitrate and mediate, consult those who signed your nikah book, and then decide to do something. I was explaining, and let me just explain this before we go in for some news, that the items in the house must be have an itinerary for that, so that if there is any difficulty, now what happens when there is some dispute, you get phone calls. The jewelry, who does it belong to? That necklace, who does it belong to? That fridge, my father gave it. And that stove, her uncle gave it. And that bed, that very fancy bed, that was given by my brother's sister's daughter. Now, who does that belong to? So they fight and they quarrel. Eventually, the reason for this quarreling is the item is not classified. So as soon as the young couple get married, you should classify it. And remember that the husband, especially when you give jewelry to the wife, that belongs to the wife. Yes, in Ramzan, when we come on Sundays, we will discuss that she has to pay zakat of that jewelry, and it will be good if you pay the zakat for her, on her behalf, for her jewelry. But technically, it belongs to her. So whatever gift the husband gives to the wife in the time of marriage, in the time of affection and love, and the time when everything is joyous and happy occasions, then that belongs to the wife. So the husband at later stage must not say, no, I want this car back, or I want that chandelier back, or I want that fancy recorder back, or I want the fancy CD player back. All this fighting takes place when we do not identify and classify things. Worse still, when death occurs. When death occurs, then what belongs to the wife is unknown. What belongs to the husband is unknown. Then the parties come in between and say, no, this belongs to us. The other party says, no, this belongs to us. And those who are legally entitled to receive from the estate, they are deprived. Why? Because proper classification of ownership of articles and merchandise in the home was not done.
JazakAllah Mufti. Just before we go on to the news, we were talking of that marriage where the couples don't talk to each other, they don't eat, the husband doesn't eat the food. And Mufti Sahib, I think the dilemma that normally the wife is faced with is that the husband does not give the talaq out of spite, to say that I won't give you the talaq because she must suffer. You know, so that type of arrogance, that type of messages come across. What does the lady do in that type of situation? What recourse has she got where she knows that this marriage is not going to work? The husband also knows it's not going to work. What do they do?
Normally what happens in these cases, then we get a lot of UFOs, unidentified flying objects in the home. Then the plates begin to fly, the pots begin to fly, and sometimes that works and the husband gives the talaq. Now if that does not work, I don't say use it.
Then use the heel of the shoe.
then you'll have to go and go through the channels. That is why I say, now that lady has to now follow the first bayan that we gave, that go to the ulama, go to the elders, and the Quran directs clearly that go for arbitration. She must call her father, her brother, or her uncle, and present the case. Let him take it to the Jamiat. Then she can contact the Jamiat, and this matter should be resolved. And here I must say sternly to those husbands who keep their wives online and do not give them divorce, that on the day of judgment, how are you going to face Allah Ta'ala? that you do not want to give your wife divorce, you are ill-treating your wife, you are abusing your wife, you are beating up your wife, you are not maintaining your wife, you are not fulfilling the rights of your wife, and on top of that you do not want to part and you do not want to issue the talaq, then what kind of a man you are, what kind of a human being you are, what kind of a Muslim you are, and how are you going to go in the grave, and how are you going to face Allah Ta'ala? Yeah, you may get away with it. Yeah, because of your wealth, it may be covered up. Yeah, because of your car, your flashy car, you may get away with it. Yeah, because of your circle of thugs, your friends which are thugs around you, you'll get away with it. Yeah, because you got contact with the imams and you got contact with some influential people, therefore you don't give that talaq, you'll get away with it. But you will go alone in that grave. And there what are you going to do? And when you go to stand before Allah, there what you are going to do? So to all those husbands who are doing this, they are keeping their wives online and not giving them the talaq when they are rightfully entitled to receive it, they should fear Allah and realize that there is a day of accountability which is swift, and in that day of accountability you will be taken to task.
Okay, Jazakallah Mufti Sahab. We're going to cross for the news right away. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The news for today, the 27th, 28th Rajab 1422, corresponding to the 15th October 2001. In the headlines, Arafat gains Blair's backing and Soweto community encourage.
Is some conditions of talaq. That first condition is intelligent, meaning that the person who is giving the talaq has to be sane, meaning the opposite, that a person who is mad or insane, when he issues a talaq, it is not valid. That means for the validity of talaq, the person has to be sane. The talaq of an insane person is not valid. The talaq of a person who is mad is not valid. The second condition is maturity. So the opposite, that a person who is immature, the nabalig, the talaq of a nabalig, the talaq of a child, is not valid. The talaq of the balig, the mature, that's valid. Now, third condition is, the talaq must not have been done whilst in the state of sleep. In the person in the state of sleep, he divorced his wife. That talaq is not valid. The talaq has to be issued when the person is conscious. So that means the talaq of an unconscious person or a person who is sleeping is not valid. However, yeah, it does not mean that when a person is fully conscious and he issues one talaq, then he decides to twist and he says, I was sleeping and I gave that talaq. Then on the day of judgment, he will not be sleeping. He'll be fully awake when he's getting the punishment.
Well, Shab, I don't know if I should, maybe I should bring this question in now. These seem to be the conditions under which talaq can be given. There's a sister who's calling and she says, if talaq is given by force, and she says that the talaq was given under gunpoint, is this talaq, he is ordered to give talaq to his wife, is this talaq valid or not? The way I understand it, the husband was forced into giving the talaq. There was a gun held against him for giving the talaq.
In this case here, I would advise what to do, because I think what has happened here, perhaps there is a hypothetical question, so that some education can take place. If someone threatens, what you should do, like someone threatens you with by your life and says that if you do not divorce your wife, then we are going to shoot you or kill you, or we are going to break your limbs or bust your knees. I do not know the terms they use, these gangsters. So in that case, what the husband should do, he must write out that divorce. And the ulama say that in that case, that talaq is not valid. So when under duress and the duress is of that nature where there is a possibility, a probability of loss of life or limb. And in that case, immediately the person say, okay, no problem, you are threatening my life, you are to kill me, you are to shoot me, you are to blow my brains, you are to hurt me, so I will write out. So when he writes it out, then that talaq is not valid. If he says it, he must say once only and sit down. Say it once, and that will be counted as one. Because generally those people who come to extract these talaqs and force these talaqs, they are not acquainted with the Sharia law. And when they come and they want to shoot you and take out the talaq, then say it once. Then write it down and send it to the ulama ikram, the muftis of the Darul Ulum, and they will say that one talaq has been issued. We have explained the conditions that the person has to be sane, he has to be baligh, and he must be conscious, not sleeping. Now I explain to you that there are various categories of talaq. One, the ulama ikram have classified four types. One is wajib, one is mustahab, thirdly is haram, and fourth makruh. So can you imagine how important this issue of talaq is, that they have classified it also. Wajib is when that the husband and the wife were quarreling, were fighting, and the mediator, the arbitrator, he after listening to all sides of the story, he after trying to mediate and arbitrate, after trying to find an amicable solution, and he fails, and this arbitrator and mediator, and he has this opinion that this marriage is not going to work, and there is no room for reconciliation, there is no scope for reconciliation, and they should separate. So in that case, it will be a wajib form of talaq, that it will be compulsory for them to separate. The talaq-e mustahab, the preferable one, is when the husband and the wife, they are not compatible. However, I have explained to you all in detail, compatible does not mean this modern compatibility in Western definition terminology. But it means truly not compatible, and the husband and wife are constantly, repeatedly fighting, and this is now on the increase. And to save themselves from the sin of fighting, quarreling, and abusing each other, then it is better, best for them to separate. That is mustahab. Third talaq, which we call haram or najais, is when after relationship has been taken place, then the husband decides to issue talaq while his wife is in the condition of haiz, menstruation. Here is another case that the talaq, the ulama ikram have classified like it is haram, but valid. Although the action which he has done is of prohibited, he should not have done such an action, but the result is valid. Then we get a talaq that is makruh. It is not liked, it is not desirable, it is highly not desirable. This makruh or detested talaq is when the husband and wife, they are compatible and they are living in peace and they are living in tranquility and they are fulfilling each other's rights, but still they want to divorce. Still he wants to divorce the husband for no reason, for no valid reason, for no just cause. He just wants to divorce his wife. So that will be a dislike, a makruh divorce. I would like to do one more section before we terminate, which I promised last session, was we discussed the Sari Talaq, the Talaq-e Kinaya, the Talaq-e Mughallaza, and I said there is the best method of Talaq, that there is a good method of Talaq, and there is the Talaq-e Bidat. The Talaq-e Bidat is ghair masnoon. It is not the good method of giving the talaq, and it has got various stages or various cases. One is that the husband gives the wife talaq when she is in her haze, meaning the husband divorces the wife whilst the wife is experiencing her monthlies, her menstruation. The second form of bidat talaq is that he gives her the divorce in the state of purity, but in that state of purity he had relationship with her. But in that purity stage, he gave her a divorce. Because the best method is that when there is purity, and when he did not have a relationship with her, then he gives her the divorce. That is the best method, because there is little possibility of a child being conceived. The third form of bidat talaq is that the person in one sitting, he issues three talaqs. See, this is classified bidat talaq by the ulama. And those who think they know more than the ulama, they have got their own views. And if a person wants to prove something, then he will use any method to prove anything. So he issues these three talaqs by saying three times talaq in one sitting. The fourth case of bidat talaq is that in one purity, whilst the wife is experiencing one purity, then he issues three talaqs. So these are the four cases which we've classified, the ulama have classified as bidat talaq. Now if Yusuf allows me a few minutes, I can do one small section on iddat, yeah, and that will help.
5 minutes, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So you still got 4 minutes before actual time, so you got 9 minutes.
Oh, alhamdulillah. See, when the husband divorces the wife, then the wife must stay, or now she is in the state of iddat. Now this iddat means that she must stay in a home and not come out. Unfortunately, in this so-called modern westernized world, many so-called modern ladies do not want to conform to the laws of iddat even. And after being officially divorced, they still roam around. This is contrary to Sharia. So iddat for a iddat has got various timings. A husband divorces his wife. Now the iddat period will be 3 hays, meaning 3 menstruational periods. That the wife, she will sit and she will wait. This is the waiting period, and now she will experience her 3 hays. When this 3 hays terminates, when the 3rd hays terminates, then her iddat is over. Let me explain this. That let's say, unfortunately, that the husband divorces the wife. When the husband divorces the wife, then the wife, she's no more his wife, she's sitting in iddat. 1 hayz, 1 menstruation period passes. Then the next one. Then the 3rd one. On the termination of the 3rd one, she's out of her iddat. Now she can marry whomsoever she wants to. That is one case. Second, that unfortunately the husband divorces the wife when the wife is expecting, when the wife is pregnant. Now when the wife is expecting and she is pregnant, and the husband has divorced her, now her iddat period is upon delivery or upon birth of the child. Here, understand something, that to give you an example, if the husband divorced the wife and the wife was at that time 1 month pregnant, and she gave birth as per normal duration after another 8 months, then her actual iddat is 8 months, because she will have to wait now for the child to be born. Second example to make you understand, the husband divorced the wife and the wife was 8 months pregnant. Yeah, 1 month. Then the wife, the lady, she passes the iddat and she can marry whomsoever she wants to. Now give you a third one example, that if the husband divorces the wife and the wife is at the last stages. For example, her husband divorces the wife in the morning and the wife gives birth in the evening. Her iddat period was for the morning till evening. As soon as the child of the birth, the child was born, the iddat is over, she can marry whomsoever she wishes to. The iddat of a widow, the husband died. The husband died. Now the wife, she is the widow, she will now have iddat for 4 months and 10 days. 4 months and 10 days. 4 months Islamic, lunar months, not solar. So she will have to wait, and the day will be calculated, the time will be calculated from the time the husband died. That day is calculated from that time, and it will end at the, on that time again, or after 4 months, 4 Islamic months and 10 days. So sometimes you will get 29, sometimes 30. So that basically covers many aspects of talaq. There are some questions, Yusuf.
Okay, to close off, the first one if we've got here, until when does a woman get maintenance, even if she is court married?
She will...
Together. Oh, okay, sorry, my apologies. This question is together. Let me start over the first one. A person got married for the second time, being unjust to the first wife. The first wife asked him to make a decision. So he wrote down 3 talaqs and gave it to the son. And the son is 23 years old. Okay, gave it to her via the son. Okay, who is 23 years old. Is this talaq valid or not?
As far as that is concerned, that once he has written the talaq and then he has given it to his son to give it, obviously, to the son's mother, that means the wife of the husband, then the talaq is valid, 3 talaqs written is valid.
Even if there were no witnesses?
Even if there were no witnesses.
Okay, and then until when does she get maintenance, even if she is court married?
She would get maintenance as long as the iddat period lasts. That is the Islamic Sharia, that is the Islamic law, that is the wisdom of Allah, that is the system of Allah, that is the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we do not have to follow the Western court system of law, which is failing and not just in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And then she's got one further question. While in iddat, can she go for a janazah or to a mayyat or visit the sick?
While she is in iddat, she must not go for the janazah and she must not go to visit the sick. Inshallah, she will get rewarded for visiting the sick, because under normal circumstances, if she was not in iddat, she should have gone to visit the sick. As far as ladies going to the homes of the deceased, that this has become like a fashion parade these days, unfortunately. And some other time I will comment on this in detail. Now the person who is in i'tikaf, he does not go for janazah salat, or he does not go to the graveyard, or he does not go to visit those who are sick. But ulama have written clearly and categorically that he will be rewarded for all that. So the lady in iddat, that inshallah for her intention, she will be rewarded abundantly.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. And that brings us to the end of this program and also to the end of the topic on talaq. And I think we've covered most of or everything, Mufti Sahib, that we needed to cover. And inshallah, when Mufti Sahib joins us back in a week or two, inshallah, we will go on to a new topic. And if you do have any suggestions on topics that you'd like us to discuss, you can contact us and inshallah, we will try and look at it. From myself, Yusuf Asmalji, and
mention the topic which we are going to discuss. The topic that we are going to discuss will be about Mahdi. These days, everybody is talking about the coming of Imam Mahdi, the role of Imam Mahdi, who is Imam Mahdi, and what are the ahadiths stating concerning Imam Mahdi, whether it is right to use the word Imam, and what are the descriptions concerning the arrival, or what are the signs before his coming, and when he comes, what he is going to do, where he is supposed to come from, who is he. So many rumors are floating around, so many time frames are being given. So alhamdulillah, we have decided by Mashwara that we are going to discuss this, and your questions, your queries, and your research, if it is proper research, you can voice it and let us comment on it. We can share, interact, and we can discuss the issue concerning Mahdi. And as usual, we will make a request that when we start the programs, you should try to come in quickly and not at the later or the latter part of the programs. One more thing concerning talaq before we round up is what we have been doing for the past few weeks is to give you a basic idea of talaq. The finer points, the intricate points, and the minute details you should get directly from the ulama ikram, from the alim, and let him explain the law to you properly. If you read a book and you cannot understand, or it does not make sense to you, or you cannot comprehend it, then you must go to an alim, a reliable alim, and let him explain it to you. And as a golden rule, that the man on the street who reads one, two ayats, and then he reads one, two hadiths, he does not become scholar of Islam. 1 + 1 = 2, 1 + 1 does not give 11. May Allah grant us understanding of the
Jazakallah Mufti Sahab.